You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
On May 23rd.
I want to go back to normal.
What's normal?
The Paramount Plus original series, Evil, returns.
We've already hunted werewolves and demons.
And now what? A baby antichrist?
Okie dokie.
Prepare yourself.
You will not beat us.
For the end.
I have visions of hell.
Make it stop. Make it shut up.
You're not gonna survive this.
Evil, the final season. Streaming May 23rd, only on Paramount Plus.
Morning footy, international break, Ooh. And some friendly action. Not off to a great start for England. Dropped the result over the weekend, 1-0 against Brazil at Wembley. Nigel's like, what?
It's
well, they've got another chance against
Look, we're not on panic stations. It's just preparation.
It is preparation.
I always like to lose. I like to lose a little bit in preparation for something.
Of course you don't like to lose, but it's a good learning experience for them from that game. I think there's a lot of positives from England's performance. Yeah.
You can also learn lessons from wins, too, Nigel. You do know that, right?
Yeah, all right.
Especially at home at Wembley. Woof. Yeah. All right, joining us now is Jeff Shreves to talk more about this result and the rest of the outlook on this England team. Jeff, tough loss against Brazil. They got a goal from the wonder kid, Indrik. What went wrong at Wembley for England?
Well, Ali, I find myself in rare territory in that I agree with Nigel for once. Look, it's
not the first time you've agreed with me, Jeff. Let's go there. Come on, mate.
There's three games to go before the Euros. There's no need to panic. You know, we saw what happened with France at the weekend as well. So it doesn't mean that much. But I think what's perhaps troubling, and you say, Ali, what did we actually learn from it? I think the biggest concern that is on England's, if you like, on the horizon is they are a terrific team. They're amongst the favourites. But what they don't have is strength in depth. It would appear when... You know, there's only a couple of positions, I feel, where they've got two world-class players who can fill one position. And it left us with an awful lot of, if you like, head-scratching at the weekend. I mean, Gareth Southgate, certainly at left-back, Ben Chilwell didn't have a great night. He'll be hoping and praying, and he will give Luke Shaw until June the 8th to get himself fit to be on that plane. He's an absolute must there. Next conundrum. Who fills that third spot in centre midfield alongside Declan Rice and Jude Bellingham? Who is going to be that player? Conor Gallagher tried his heart out, but wasn't a great audition for him. If it's going to be Kobbie Mainoo, then he needs to be starting these games now. They need to bed him in. And he hasn't been able to look at Trent Alexander-Arnold in that position. So that's another worry. And then, of course, tomorrow night, it's the big one. It's the audition, isn't it? For Ivan Toney. He's got literally, this is his first England start. Huge amount of pressure on his shoulders to try and seal a place on the plane. So, summing it all up, as I said, I think we were left with a lot more questions than we were answers.
Jeff, I think there's a lot of questions about tactics that, you know, Gareth Southgate have used. They've always been questions. In particular, I tend to be someone who thinks Gareth Southgate is doing a great job. But then I see Phil Foden start on the right. And I think, all right, maybe I'm wrong. Talk to me about why you would start Phil Foden on the right versus where he's been so much more influential with Manchester City. And was this because of a lack of other players? Or is this simply the way we're going to see Phil Foden used internationally moving forward?
I know you have extensive knowledge, Alexis. So have you heard of a guy called Bukayo Saka?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, big fan, but he wasn't there.
Exactly. That's why he started there. Simple as that. You know, he's... The Phil Foden one, though, joking aside, is an interesting one. It's a conundrum. Who does he start on that left-hand side? Surely it has got to be Foden starting now. I think everybody's favourite front three is Kane up top, Foden on the left, and then Saka on the right. But Foden, I think, personally prefers, and I also think he's more effective, when he plays in that 10 role.
Yeah.
But that's occupied by Jude Bellingham.
Yep.
So there's no space there. I think starting him on the left, Alexis, and then him drifting in or allowing him license to move along that front line is the ideal spot for Phil Foden. You've got to shoehorn him in somewhere. You know, this is the player Pep Guardiola said is the best player in the Premier League right now. So you've got to find a space for him. It might not be ideal, but, you know, once again, you get this with international teams. You do have to try and juggle, if you look a bit, to accommodate certain talents. And Phil Foden is definitely one of them.
Jeff, let's talk striker here. You touched on Ivan Toney's going to have his chance. Ollie Watkins had his chance against Brazil. It was muted. What are the options? Do you think Gareth Southgate's looking at this as, do I find someone similar to Harry Kane? Or do I just blow it all up, and if Harry Kane's not available or if he needs to come out, you have somebody else that's a different type of player?
Well, here's the thing, Brian, and you obviously know that position well. Ollie Watkins the other night, he didn't have a great night, but it has to be said, he didn't get great service either.
Yeah.
You know, he was feeding off of scraps. So he's a very different player to Harry Kane, a completely different player. So too is Ivan Toney. You could argue Toney is more similar to Harry Kane. And the other thing that Toney has in his favour is his incredible record on penalties. So if it comes to taking him, if he's on the bench, if it looks like a game is going to penalties, that could be a factor. That could be a factor in terms of whether or not Gareth takes him with him. I can't see him taking all three. I really can't see him taking all three because they've got other players that can move in and around. And it's only a 23-man squad this time. I don't see much option beyond those three. I mean, look, in an emergency, Jared Bowen can play at nine. We've seen him do it for West Ham. Of course, he's going to be nowhere near the preferred option. Look, Harry Kane is head and shoulders, not just the captain, he's head and shoulders England's number nine, and there's no shifting him. So who can you take if you want to change the game? Now, in changing the game, Brian, do you think actually in a game that he would replace Harry Kane? I personally don't see it. I can't see him taking him off and replacing him.
Yeah, I can't
so,
either.
So does he take somebody right. who he could perhaps complement him with alongside him? Or is the biggest thought in his mind, who can play if for whatever reason, it would have to be injury, unlikely suspension, Harry Kane is not available? What do you think is uppermost in Gareth's mind in looking at this alternative striker?
For me, it would be someone that can run in behind. And Harry Kane can, but that's not his game. He's more build-up, bringing other players in, and then getting in the penalty area. So for me, either if you're going to play with the two, you have someone running off of Harry Kane and in behind, maybe a Rashford or someone similar to that. But again, then you're talking about Foden can do that job if he comes more central. So it'll be an interesting way that he sort of sets up his team for a solution if needed, either to replace Harry Kane, but as you said, it probably won't happen unless it's an injury. So that'll be interesting to see what Gareth Southgate does.
Jeff.
Yeah, you also need somebody who's a good tourist as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean that seriously. Somebody who knows they may not necessarily start every single game, might be called upon. But you guys have been in squads. You know what it's like sitting around. I remember Arsene Wenger saying to me about a certain player. He said he was fantastic, this club. He was a brilliant guy. He was fantastic to have around when he was in the team. Mm. When he wasn't in the team, did not work.
So
was
not Ben White.
Good. Yeah. So you have to, it's, you know, it's a specific role to be an understudy to somebody who will be upbeat in training, good around the camp, and then can actually do it when called upon into action. So there's a lot to take on board for Gareth Southgate, or certainly a lot for him to think about before making that selection.
Jeff, obviously you talked about some of the injuries that occurred and stuff, Kyle Walker being one of the main ones because of how influential he is to Manchester City. What does this mean for Manchester City, and how serious is the injury, if you can give us any more information?
Well, there's no update at the moment, Nigel. I mean, you saw Vinny Jr.'s pace. My word, I've not seen many people leave Kyle Walker like that. You would have thought He felt it within the first stride, and that's why he didn't go full beans himself. And the fact that it's a friendly as well, he thought, right, out of here now. Let's go straight away. If he felt, you're hoping for Manchester City, he felt something small, but it didn't look that bad on the night. He wasn't hobbling badly, and he wasn't clutching the back of his hamstring, which is always the biggest clue, isn't it? But again, you know, we've had more pullouts. We've had Maguire pull out, haven't we, as well, because he's got an injury. Lewis Dunk, he's gone as well. So it's, sorry, Cole Walker and Harry Maguire both gone. They've got to be aware. They're club football. We're getting to the business end of the season right now. They can't be taking risks in international friendlies, particularly as well. Again, Nigel, Cole Walker, it's not like he's doing an audition, is he? He's an absolute shoo-in at right back for England this summer.
A lot of questions still ahead with all of the injuries and everything and how it's going to affect these club teams. Thanks so much, Jeff, for taking the time to join us today. England have what are we calling this? Another lesson tomorrow against Belgium?
It's part of the process, Ali.
Part of the process.
Fact-finding mission as we feel our way to glory in the summer.
Exactly.
There you go.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.